Good evening, everyone. We are back again here on YouTube, Facebook Live, Twitch. It is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thank you for joining us as tonight we preview the Eagles' upcoming matchup with the New York Jets after facing the New York Giants recently at MetLife Stadium. They stay at MetLife Stadium and take on the Jets. And I just have to point out one thing that I forgot to point out on Monday is that...
Oh, no! We suck again!
Because that's what ended up happening, and I didn't get a chance to say that. But I think it was pretty obvious by our discussion is that we're just kind of left with a lot of questions after the Giant game. Like, how do you lose that? It's probably the biggest question. How do you lose to that team? Because if you watch the game back, and I did... The Eagles just played to the Giants level. The Giants are not a good team.
Right.
And maybe that's saying the Eagles aren't a very good team, even though, you know, they've got five wins. Maybe they're just not worthy as well. I don't know. I think that there was a lot of things that took place in that Giant game that we had no control over as far as the team, that the interceptions were bad. I did notice on both the plays, I was able to watch those back. I know we're still talking about old stuff. Mm-hmm. I was able to watch those plays that both receivers were bumped off the play by the Giant defenders, not grabbed. Like the mm-hmm. Boston Scout one, especially right before the half, he was flat out knocked to the ground by his defender. However, no flag because it was within the 5 yards for illegal contact. Now, could have still been if the ball was in the air, but it was like he got knocked down just as Hurts was throwing the mm-hmm. ball. So it was kind of a judgment call by the ref. Could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Still a ball that shouldn't have been thrown. Mm-hmm. So I did see that today, and I kind of went, Giants defenders were very physical to our wide receivers. And we got
that. That was the point I was making before. Like, yeah. That was the point that, like, man, they're getting away with a lot. That was all I was mentioning. Like, man, they're getting away with a lot. Because mm-hmm. And then even the last on Monday, wasn't that, they definitely were ill-advised throws because it's still in the coverage, but it was just like, what happened to the receiver? All of us, you don't see the receiver in both plays. Like, what happened? So, and like we said before, when you see a pick that happens like that, something happened. Like, when you see like a really, really, really bad pick, unless it's like a super overthrow, but you see that one in the field where it hits the defender right in the chest, like, oh shit. It's normally something happened.
Looking at the tape, because they didn't replay it during the game, which was kind of mm-hmm. dubious. You know, in these broadcasts, they always replay everything.
They pick and choose. They pick and choose.
Again, we know that the New York teams get a little bit of love from the media. I mean, you look at this game coming up against the Jets, everybody's picking the Jets to cover this 6.5-point spread. I'm like, okay, you go ahead. I know that the Eagles lost a bad one to the Giants, but they don't take into consideration that the Eagles beat Denver on the road, beat New Orleans at home, beat the Lions worse than most teams have beaten them, and then play the Chargers to within 3 points. All they're focusing on is that 13-7 loss against a really bad team, and it does look really bad. Yeah. But the title of this episode for everyone is "If We Lose This One, We Riot." Episode 18. Get ready to go into this game with the New York Jets, and it's true. I think that going into this game, If we lose this one, and we may not riot, but as a fan base, we're done. We're going into a bye week. If they can't handle business this week, then it's over. The season has to be over at this point. You lose to the Jets. To me, which I actually watched their game against Houston back today, and they shouldn't even have won that game. Houston is just worse than they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw some bad football play when I rewatched that game. It was a very hard. It was almost as bad as watching the Bears Lions on Thanksgiving. Was how bad it was watching the Jets and the Texans.
You know, I guess your reaction to this game or pregame is, I guess, is really going to be based off of the expectations before the season started. Again, man, who is Nick Sirianni? You know, who is his coaching staff? Who are these people? We don't know. And they have not been established. They haven't established themselves as in the NFL on this level. Of course, you know, getting to become a head coach, you had to put in a lot of work. So, and then you had to be vouched for also by a few people. But yeah, man, you know, we still have a rookie coaching staff. extremely young quarterback. It's just like second year with Slay, first year with Nelson. You know, I almost feel like, and I really hate to say this, if I was a fan of a team that was winning, I was going to say it, but then I stopped myself because I can't even say it. If I was a fan of another team and I was winning, and I had a quarterback that's been in the league for 8 or 9 years, I had a running back that's been in the league for 6 or 7 years, I had an offensive line that I've played that's been all pros on this line. I have receivers. You look across my receiving core, and whew, there's not a lot of down spots. I have some of the best defenders in the league at corner and at safety. And these guys, and this is not my coach's first year. Then I could put that smoke on them. I think as Eagles fans, the smoke never lets up no matter what, you know, because to me, man, we put this team is kind of thrown together. You know, there's not a whole lot of rhyme or reason with how the Eagles are set up in general. And there's no, man, we talked about it this year. We don't even know who the defensive captain is.
No.
Because this team hasn't been together. You know, offensively, make a lot of mistakes because this team just hasn't been together. And it's another new system, another new something. This whole line is learning a new system this year. I want to see what happens. I think I can have that level of smoke, probably year four when I'm like, okay, we've given it enough, but I'm just kind of, I personally, this is just my take on the Eagles here. I feel like we're playing with house's money based off of what we have, because I feel like any other teams would have a way worse record than this. I really do. I really do. Teams that's just kind of thrown together, pieces here, there, backup running backs here, wide receivers that just can't really get it right. That can go 4 or 5 games with only 4 yards, you know, shit like that. Like, I don't know, man. So I guess I'm not coming at them from that harsh perspective. Right. I'm kind of like, damn, I can't believe we're even to this point, just with all the changes they've made throughout the year. Finally made Sirianni run. Finally made Gannon play a little pressure. It took them 8 games, 6. Right. You know, so it's like, maybe they come into next year doing these things from the start, then tell me what type of team we have. But I just that's just kind of my sentiment when it comes to the Eagles. Like, overall, it's just kind of like, I'm more so still squinting at all of them. Like, are you good? Are you good? You know, are you going to make it? So, but you can tell in the media too, every game that Hurts loses, the headline is he a franchise quarterback? That has to be a lot to play under. Every time I lose a game, I get questions if I'm the franchise quarterback. It's like, damn, you know, so that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot, man. I just think it's a lot going on in Philly, man. I really do. And we don't have any faces. We have nobody that we can even look to in this entire organization or team and say that guy. Fletcher Cox is kind of dumbed that down. He's not real boisterous this year. He's not, you know, that guy, I guess, this year. So we have nobody to really go to, man. When I think of the Eagles, I just think of them as like just one whole team.
Right.
Like, I don't think of like a B. Dawkins or a Donovan McNabb or a Deuce Staley. Anybody that you can go to. Right. Charlie Jordan, I don't care how far you want to go back. Eric Allen. There's always somebody you can go to and say the Eagles, and no matter their record. Mm-hmm. I can't look at anybody on this team and go, that's the person. Maybe next year, Slay, because he's had such a hell of a year.
Right.
Maybe Slay can start becoming that guy. So just overall with the Eagles, you know, just my overall sentiment with them. Maybe that's why I'm so chill on them most of the time, because it's just, you know, my perspective is just like.
Well, I think, you know, what it comes down to, I think what it comes down to is what you said right at the very beginning is expectations. And this team, like you said, has been Jekyll and Hyde. We don't know who they are. One day they're meek and mild Dr. Jekyll, and then they come out in 3 out of 4 games, they're Mr. Hyde just running through people. And I think they gave the fans a taste of success and gave them a little bit of glimmer of hope for this season to thought, okay, maybe this season isn't just going to be a rebuilding season. Maybe this is going to be a playoff. Maybe we don't win a playoff game, but maybe we just get there, you know?
Right.
And then that all comes down when you, like you said, they started running and then they started playing pressure defense. And then against the Giants, they abandoned both.
Mm-hmm.
And so they reverted back to that earlier to Dr. Jekyll again. And so that's why the thing with this Jets game, it's like, if they don't come out and establish their identity in this Jets game, how can the fans take them to heart? Because like you said, mm-hmm. Eagles fans are some of the most demanding in the league, probably the most demanding of what they expect for from their team. And they look at teams like New England that drafts Mac Jones at the bottom of the first round, and he's lighting it up, takes over, you know, the top spot in the AFC.
Right.
And they go, why can't that be us? And that's what Eagles fans do. Why do we keep screwing up every year when we're drafting J.J. Arcega-Whiteside when we should have D.K. Metcalf? Why are we drafting Jalen Reagor when we should have Justin Jefferson? And so that's when I think this pit starts to gnaw at the Eagles fans. And so we come up in against this game against a bad team. And let's be honest, I'm right off, the Jets are a bad
100%
team.
100% bad team.
And they're, 3-8 on the season, and that is only against, their wins are only against bad teams, like this one against Houston this past. And they were down 14-3 right before the half. And then the Houston Texans didn't score another point in the second half.
Yeah, it was just
another bad team. Yeah. So it's like, if we lose this one, we riot. And it's funny that you bring up about Jalen Hurts. Comes out of the Giants game banged up. And what is the word now? We're looking at him being questionable for this week. And so now we're looking at, is it Minshew Mania time in Philadelphia? And I put this up here as kind of a joke because I'm with you. If Minshew comes in and plays out of his head, throws for 300 yards and two touchdowns or whatever, even if he throws for 250 and two touchdowns and they win by 20, it is not time for Gardner Minshew in Philly. But this is what we're dealing with right now. We got the media outlets that are looking at this and throwing this out there like it's some bone to the Eagles fans to already go ahead and abandon Hurts. Hurts had, if you take those four games that he played prior to the Giant game, he had one bad game. I mean, he's had a couple of bad games this year, but that Giant game was a really bad game. He didn't look in command of the offense, didn't look confident with his throws. But if you look at the body of work, because we were praising him going into that game.
No doubt.
The body of work, the way he played against the Chiefs, the way he played against the Lions, the way he played against Denver and New Orleans. The guy can play football, and he can lead a team. So it's time to pump the brakes, I think, on the Minshew mania. But like you said, it comes out of this expectation of at least average success, even on a down year, even on a rebound.
You know what this Minshew thing, I read an article, I think it was like yesterday, because the article was kind of prompting that, you know, Jalen is hurt and he may not be able to play. Almost feel like if Minshew comes in, I mean, first of all, I mean, what a game to come in. You're playing against the worst. You're playing against not only one of the worst teams in the NFL, but you're definitely playing against the worst defense in the NFL. He comes in, lights him up, like you said, for 250. Is it fool's gold? Yeah. It's fool's gold.
Exactly.
You know, and then even, you know, then the biggest difference, and go back to that Mac Jones thing, because they did pick him at the bottom. You know, Mac Jones is only asked to throw the ball 5 yards. He's averaged 5.4 yards a throw this year. He threw three picks against that Saints defense. That Jalen Hurts scored three touchdowns. So it's just like, you got two young quarterbacks, depending on, you know, what happened. I know it's early in the season now, but when you're winning and they're rolling, I think the Patriots have run off maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But what did I start off with? Who is Nick Sirianni? Shall I say who is Bill Belichick?
Different.
It's disrespectful to even put them in the same breath. It's literally that disrespectful. Belichick has more. Anyway, we don't even have to go down there.
No.
That is the biggest difference between Matt Jones walking into an organization, going against basically everything that I just said is opposite for Mac Jones.
Right.
Who is Nick Sirianni? Mac Jones not walking into that situation. Who's on the defensive side? Who's on the offensive side? These guys are established. He's walking into a culture. There is no culture in Philly right now.
The fans keep
our culture alive. Don't get me wrong. We will bash you no matter what. What I would hate to see here, or what would disgust me, is if we treat Gardner Minshew like it's another meme or a joke. Like, you know, now we're losing. It's like, so y'all don't care that we're losing as long as we're having fun with it?
Yeah, no. That's how it was in Jacksonville.
Not with that.
That's how it was in Jackson before. Exactly. They were winning games, but he had pretty hair and he was a 70s throwback and it was ridiculous.
But he got sacked a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He fumbled a lot.
Held the ball a lot. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know, and like you said, the media is going to pump it up. If Jalen can't go, of course, throw Minshew in. And I expect him to be able to win that game.
I do too.
Because he still has more starts than Jalen Hurts. And he's been able to just watch that offense. You know, he was.
Right.
He did switch training camps, but he was able to, you know, watch that offense. I think he came in a little late.
Yeah.
I think he's still a star. I think we traded for him late during something training like camp or preseason or something.
Yeah, it was
like that.
Late. It was very late. We already had Flacco established. Then we were kind of like when they brought Gardner Minshew and we were like raising an eyebrow, like, really?
Right. What's
this? And then the next thing we knew, Flacco's at New York at the Jets and Minshew's ours. So it's going to come down to some interesting things. One of our regular listeners, Matt Kozman, says, Eagles' biggest wins have been when the offense and defense are making big plays, force the turnovers. And that's something we talked about on Monday, is that we backed off the pressures and we let Daniel Jones get comfortable. Granted, he only threw for 200 yards, but we did not sack him but once. No interceptions on a guy that loves to throw interceptions. So if the Eagles do this against the Jets and they let whoever the quarterback is going to be for the Jets be comfortable – that's going to be, again, it's going to be one of those things where the fans are going to riot. They're going to be upset because they know that this team can be better than what they are, and they expect that they're going to be better than that.
Right.
So staying on the Jalen Hurts thing, we've got a quick meme of the week. I do like this meme of the week because this goes back again to the Giant game, and it basically has it's a Will Smith looking, but it says Jalen Hurts looking at a wide-open Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. That was at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And he just looks him off. He looks him off, and he goes to Rager, who again was open in the middle of the field. But you know, it's one of those things where you got to start asking yourself. It is a great meme. It's a good picture, but because that's exactly what it feels like to me as a fan. Why did he go to Rager, who doesn't catch anything, when you got Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert open at the end of that game? And it was just the play that seemed like it could be made. And I think Hurts had faith that Rager would catch the ball. It didn't happen. We lose the game. Can't put it all on Jalen, but can put a lot. Jalen Rager. You can put a lot on Rager. I mean, you really can. The two drops right there at the end of the game were huge. Yeah. The whole team didn't play great, but we had a chance to salvage it, and it didn't happen. So I think going forward, you know, we talked about on Monday, Devontae Smith throwing the fit at the end of the game. I think Hurts is going to think twice before he passes the ball to Rager's way, because you're going to start losing that faith in your receiver when he continually drops the ball. And especially in a key situation, you're not getting the ball. I'm not even going to look at you anymore.
Player, that would be a mistake. You know, I'm not saying you're condoning.
I'm just saying
that. Now you're cutting off one of your reads. And you want a quarterback to play the game naturally. You know, your progressions, bop, bop, bop. You know, when we talked about Jalen, his thing is those last couple drives, he was staring down the receivers, and I think it comes from the rhythm of the passing game. I really believe that the passing game is a rhythm, that you get into a rhythm of passing. But when it's, you know, you're asking, like we talked about before, run it three times and then you're dropping back in this pocket kind of style, that eye level change, that cadence of him, of how he's seeing the field. First, he has to see the field as a runner. Then he has to see the field as a passer. Then he has to see the field as a runner. And you're literally switching your brain off and on versus your traditional quarterbacks calling a traditional pass play, calling a traditional run play. And it's just simple. Oh, yeah. It's so many things in the constant RPOs that, you know, they have gotten a little bit away from. They went back heavy. And that goes to how young this team is. You mentioned it. And that's a really good point. And you said we reverted back to everything we did wrong against the Giants. That's what a young coaching staff will do.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, but you don't expect a veteran coach to make these mistakes. So these are the growing pains that we have to anticipate with a young staff. And, you know, I'm being lenient on all of them across the board because they have to learn sometimes. Nick Sirianni has to learn sometimes. Look at Frank Wright up there. He's been blowing a lot of games. Frank Wright up in Indy. He's still blowing a lot of games up there. You know, they'll have these big up and downs. I think Taylor is bailing them out, man. I think Taylor, they started 0-4 Indy. And then Taylor, as hot as Taylor has gotten, that's how hot that team has been.
Exactly. Yeah.
It goes back to that running back, man, which we are having a carousel.
I think what's funny is that, and when we talk about the Eagles, a lot of times we play a little bit of good cop, bad cop, and I'm always the one that calls them out, and you give them a little bit more leeway, which is well deserved because it is a young team, and it is a quarterback that's really in his first full year as a starter and a head coach. Again, we mentioned that at the start of the season, but like I said, the thing that kind of gets on our nerves is when they have a taste of success and then they can't mm-hmm. sustain it. It gets frustrating. So
100%.
So let's take a look at the stats for this Jet game going in. We got Jalen Hurts right now averaging 202 yards a game against Zach Wilson at 187. Right now, the signs are all pointing to Zach Wilson starting this game. He's questionable, but he did practice today, which is it shows that he's probably going to end up being the starter. So we probably won't see Flacco. Rushing, our rushing leader is Jalen Hurts as well at 57 yards a game. But look at their leading rusher. I think it's Ty Johnson. It's 16.9 yards a game. That's how bad this team is. Our leading receiver, 4 touchdowns on the year, 57 yards a game, Devontae Smith. There's Davis, which is 59 yards and 4 touchdowns. So pretty comparable numbers. And then you get into the meat of their kind of their stats. Points per game, we've got right now the Jets at 18 at 27th in the league and the Eagles at 25 points a game, 12th in the league. Now this is where it gets, you know, crazy is the Jets 30 points allowed per game average. Dead last in the league in defense as far as points allowed. Eagles right now allowing 22 points a game in middle of the road, 15th in the league. Yards per game, again, the Jets, this is yards gained per game, total yards gained. They're sitting at 21st at 353, the Eagles at 361. Really close as far as offensively. Passing yards per game, they're doing much better than we are overall. 267 yards, 10th in the league. So I think that comes off of a couple good games that Wilson's had. And then 203, but the Eagles are not, luckily over the last 4 weeks, have not been a pass-first offense, which has been the right thing to do. Then you get into the rushing yards, and that's when you see the disparity. They're averaging 86 yards a game, 29th in the league. The Eagles, 157.9. Right now, I think that's number one in the league, or is that third? I can't read that. That's first in the league. So, and then you get to time of possession. Right now, the Eagles sitting at 13 and the Jets at 23rd. And then you go to third down efficiency, the Jets at 15th and the Eagles at 5th in third down efficiency. One thing I will say about the Eagles, their third down efficiency has been really good this year when Jalen Hurts is on. In those 3 out of 4 games that they won, including the Charger game that they lost, Jalen Hurts really played well on third down. Sacks, we're struggling. 27th in the league right now. We're not getting the pressure that we need to on the quarterbacks. 19 sacks on the year to the Jets, 25th. Jets have a pretty decent pass rush with Quinn and Williams. And I forget the other guy's name. I'll look it up in a minute. He's really good. And then interceptions, they're not really good on the defensive back side of the ball. They have 4 interceptions on the year for 31st, and the Eagles, 8th. 8 interceptions to be 16th in the league. And then you look at the recent games. The Jets are coming off a win at Houston, 21-14. And the Eagles are coming off a loss to the Giants. But other than that, it's been a tale of two different teams because they'd lost to Miami, of all teams. They got blown out by Buffalo. And then they got handled pretty well by the Colts. They did beat the Bengals, which was a wow. surprise to me when you look at that score, 34-31. So that was at home. So this team can play every once in a while. I think that was the game that kind of turned everybody's heads for a while. And then they went right back to their losing ways, so they didn't mm-hmm. sustain themselves. But overall, when you look at the stat line, this is not a great team.
No.
They have some decent players on defense, and there was a couple that I saw that I thought stood out for me when I watched the game today, and it was Jonathan Franklin Myers, their defensive end. He had several tackles in that Houston game. So him and Quinnen Williams are somebody you have to watch out for. And then they have a linebacker named Quincy Williams. He had 13. Yes, he had 13 tackles against Miami, and he was all over the field against Houston. Mm-hmm. So you got to watch out for the Williams brothers, as far as the Eagles are concerned, going into this game, because defensively, their front 7, while they give up a lot of rushing yards, they've got a good pass rush. Mm-hmm. So I do expect Hurts to be moving around a lot in the passing game. But running the ball now, if you watch that game against Houston, David Johnson, who looked like David Johnson of 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, he was pushing the ball through them. Second half, they shut him down. But first half, he was getting through with basically no resistance and getting to the second level. They closed that up, but I think a lot of it was, I don't want to judge Houston too well because they just made a lot of bad decisions. Tyrod Taylor threw some really bad picks. They kept trying to throw the ball when they... Something I don't want the Eagles to do is to sit there and know this is a really bad team against the run, and yet we're going to go ahead and try to throw on them all day. That's like we did against the Giants, and it didn't work well for us. So I'm going to turn it over to you for your keys to victory and kind of go over what you think the Eagles have to do in order to win this game.
First things first, I think we need to move on from Rager. I think we just need to move on from Rager, man. At this point, you know, if you want to keep him on special teams, cool, but I don't see how he needs to be in the lineup. I think over the past 4 or 5 games or so, he's only had about 5 yards. You know, 2 of the podcasts, we've shown him with negative numbers. And I think it would always leave a bad taste in our mouths that we didn't get, I hate to say this again, Justin Jefferson. But you know who else was on the board still, Lee, that we could have got?
Ooh.
We could have got T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
And we also could have got Michael Pittman Jr.
Wasn't Jerry Jeudy up there as well, or was that the year prior?
Could have been. Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, I'm not sure, because it was 4 receivers. He was the 4th one picked.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
There was a lot to be had.
Jerry Jeudy in there, too. But T. Higgins and Pittman, two of the guys that I saw around that area that jumps out to me. And we didn't pick those guys up. So I think we need to bench Rager, and I really want to move on from him in the special teams. I know I said you can trot him out, cool, but nah, man, get rid of him. It's like we're still stuck on the fact that he ran the 4.2 at his pro day, but he ran a 4.4. It's almost like he's slower. Like, he doesn't have that burst. When you watch him on punt returns, he has no juice. It's like that. He probably has top end speed, but that acceleration, not there, not what we need. You know, the matchup, man, Elijah Moore is playing very well. Young rookie and Davis, their leading receiver, is back off of injury. He's questionable, but I think he's going to play. He's going to come back for this game. You know, he was a good wide receiver at Tennessee, and he's still a solid wide receiver, and he's tall, earlier than people would expect. I like our matchup, though, just because of their quarterback more so than anything else in Nelson and Slay. I think when we are being aggressive and aren't playing 30 yards off the ball, Nelson and Slay has pretty good games because they are physical corners. Nelson and Slay are physical corners. Slay doesn't like to tackle as much, but as far as playing in coverage, he'll hand fight you, he'll bump you, and all of that good stuff. I think we have our strength there in this matchup. We already mentioned this, you know, how bad they are, man, against the run. Run the ball. Nothing cute. I don't want to see a lot of screen plays unless they're just blitzing and they're wide open. I just don't want the goofy plays that we see just randomly thrown in. Just goofy plays. Just run a consistent offense. Run that offense you ran in Denver, or run that offense you ran against the Saints that just was working. At least we were getting points, points, points. You know, every drop, whether it was 3 or 6, we were getting points. We got to get back to when we were running the ball. Even when we didn't score, we still got points on the board. And it helped our defense out by just staying on the field longer. Rookie quarterback, man. We cannot let no damn Zach Wilson beat us, bro. I'm sorry. We keeping it 100, man. We can't let Zach Wilson beat us. We can't. It would be embarrassing if we lost to this Jets team, 100%. A team that if Hurts is out there throwing a bunch of interceptions against a team that only has 4, it's just not good. It's not a good look. Yeah, man, I think those are keys, man. We keep the pressure, make Wilson, you know, because he's still hobbled. So, you know, keep the pressure on him, make him think about his injuries, hit him a couple times, let big Fletcher Cox lay on him a little bit, you know, because he's a small quarterback, Zach Wilson. Lay on him a little bit, hit him a little bit, and let's get this dub, man, and let's get back to see if we can sneak in the playoffs, man, and play spoilers or something, man. But if we want to get up, then just shut it down, throw Gardner Minshew in, trade Hurts, and we move on from here and see what happens in the next draft. Jalen Hurts is our quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
And fly, Eagles, fly, baby. Let's go. We have to win.
I think it's ridiculous to, again, we talked about that, to rule out Hurts. If he doesn't play, he doesn't play. But I think regardless of what quarterback plays, like you said, to me the biggest thing is we live and die by what Gannon does on defense. When he comes out and they're aggressive, and by aggressive, I don't mean reckless. I don't mean blitzing every down. I mean, playing up on the receivers, and I don't mean bump and run. I mean, not every play, but I'm talking about getting in the receiver's face and playing a little bit more man than zone. I'm not saying playing exclusively man. So I'm not trying to say that this is, we just have to play all aggressive man blitzes. I'm saying no, balance it out, play up. Don't leave the middle of the field open for screen passes and flat passes. I'm tired of that. Go after Zach Wilson. If we don't put him on his butt, if we don't force him into some picks, it's going to hurt the defense overall going in. So I think we can agree on that. The defense, it all starts with the defense this Sunday. If the defense shuts him down, we know our offense can score. And I truly believe in this defense, the players. I don't think they're a bad defense at all. I think we've got players like McLeod and Maddox, Slay and Nelson, all across the board. I think Edwards has been playing great. Our front four is great. Got a couple of weaknesses at linebacker, especially, you know, that we've got Singleton in there because of injuries, because Bradley's out, and that happens. But then Davion Taylor's out. But overall, I really believe in this defense if they're running the right scheme. So we'll see what happens on Sunday, and I hope that what we see is a lot more aggressiveness, more like the Lions game, more like the Saints game and the Denver game, and less like the Giants game, because like early in the season. Let's take a quick look at the injury report just really quick. Brandon Burks was really supposed to be off IR a few weeks ago, but now that's been pushed back to week 15. Jordan Howard is questionable for this game. It's unlikely that he's going to play. They're going to hold him out through the bye week. But Miles Sanders is also questionable, so that presents a problem. So we'll have to see how the Eagles play it. It does really limit them if it's just Gainwell and Boston Scott as our running backs for this game. It really does. I actually thought about it today, and it was a crazy thought. I'm not going to say it's justified, but I'm like, could they just pick up Le'Veon Bell? Just, I know he's out there. He's been cut. Just to get somebody in the lineup with some experience in that could hammer the ball, but they're not going to do that.
I wouldn't be mad at that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know. We also talked about Jalen Hurts being questionable for this game. Don't know if he's going to play or not. We'll just have to wait and see. And our center is questionable as well. So, and then Jack Driscoll, our backup guard, out. So he's out for the season on injured reserve after his ankle injury. So we're banged up pretty well going into this Jets game, but still should win this game, undoubtedly. Looking at the Jets, they're also banged up. Both their quarterbacks, other than Flacco, are questionable. One of them's out. Mike White, the other quarterback's on the COVID list. Zach Wilson's questionable with a knee, but like I said earlier, he did practice. Quincy Williams is questionable. Not the other, Quinnen Williams is good to go, but Quincy's the one that I fear probably quite a bit. Sheldon Rankins, inside defensive tackle, is really good. Questionable. Corey Davis, who we mentioned, their leading receiver, groin injury, questionable. Bryce Huff is on injured reserve. It may or may not be back. And Blake Cashman, their other linebacker, may or not be back. So on the injured front, we're both pretty banged up. Both team is. So it really, it's going to come down to the way the defensive plays and about how smart the offense is. If Sirianni comes out, even if we're stuck with Gainwell and we're stuck with Boston Scott, it's a matter of, are we going to run Boston Scott? Are we going to run little screen passes to Gainwell and get those guys out there so that they can, you know, run it down their throat? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. All right, so looking after that game, when we go up and look at the upcoming games that we got going on, like we said before, the Eagles, after this, they get a week off. Much deserved. It's a very long season so far, and it's almost, if it was a regular 16 game season, it would almost be over. But we know that this year we're going 18 weeks with one bye and 17 games. So we've got week 14, we're off, and then we have the Washington football team, who's sitting at 5-6, just beat the Seattle Seahawks on Monday night, coming to town, and then we get a rematch. So the next two games after the bye week are at the Link, at home. You win this Jets game, you got the next two at home against division opponents. You're possibly looking at 8-7 going out at week 16. Don't want to get too ahead, but that's what you're kind of looking at if they can go on a 3-game win streak. We'll see. It's hard to say what will happen, but that's what we're looking at. And we'll preview all those games after the Jets games when those come up. Now we want to talk about our fantasy, and really I don't have much to say. I could probably start taking my scores off of this. I lost again. I got nothing. Jalen Hurts only got me 13 points. Miles Sanders didn't get me, but I think 3 points. It was bad. So I lost. But you won again. So you're moving up in the the league. You're right. You're sitting there at fifth right now. You're one win out of the top four because everybody's tied at 8-4 in our league. So how's it feeling getting ready to go in the playoffs?
No, it was pretty cool, man. My brother was here for Thanksgiving, so we were playing each other. And he was like, the Marine Raiders. Already lost. Yeah, he was like, man, I already lost. We were sitting on the couch watching. What game were we watching? And he was watching the Bucks game while I was watching the Eagles game. But we seen on Thanksgiving when Waller went out. So he had already seen his team kind of just you know, spiraling where he wasn't going to get the points that he needed. And then when Brady, when Brady only puts up 22, you're smiling, you know, you're laughing. So I needed that win. That got me into the playoffs. I clinched, so I'm in.
Nice.
With that win. And woo, we will see from here, man. But anything can happen. I picked up Jamal Williams off the waiver wire. That should be a little sneaky. Should be a little sneaky back if you know, going into the playoffs with a fresh back.
And Swift is out, so yeah, he'll get a lot more carries. We'll see how the Lions do, but I do like Jamal Williams. I actually put a claim on him just to see if I could last ditch because my backs are so bad right now. But I'm pretty much done in our league. But you know, I'll still track how you go through the rest of the season. But you took out your brother who was the number one in the league, so now you got a four-way tie for first in that league other than points breaking it out. So there's still how many games left in the regular season? Is it just
I think. Well, week 14 is the playoffs.
Right. So one more after this one.
One more after this one.
Yeah. So it's coming down to it's been a quick season, isn't it? It's crazy. All right. So let's look at the pick standings right now. If you haven't been following the show, I run a picks game and we kind of feature that every week. We got a lot of people out there. It's 10 points for a correct pick, minus 10 for a loss. And then you get one lock per week that is worth 20 points either way. And this was an interesting week for me. I only went 6-9 in pro, but I nailed all three college picks to go 3-0. So if I had a nice little parlay, I'd have been good. And that helped me go plus 10 on the week. And my opponent, who was in the lead by about 50 points, he regressed. He went like minus 50. And so now we're sitting tied at 80 points per back in first place. Your boy's still holding on to that first place. After that, we got Tim Case at 40. And then C.J. Clark and Darren Muir at even money. And then we got a bunch of players in negative figures. So they could catch up. It's still a long way to go. And one of the things that we do every year is we do bowl games. We do all the college bowl games. And then that total factors in. So this season, as far as the picks, are far from over. We will see how it goes. And so I want to give you my picks for this week. Like I said, I've been 6-9, 5-10 the last few weeks. I'm hoping to right the ship. I'm hoping to have a really good one. But who knows? I mean, this game right the way the NFL is right now, there's so much parity, and the spreads just make it all that more complicated. But we, you know, I'm still in the lead, still plus 80, so anything can happen. So starting off with the Thursday night game, we've got Dallas given 4.5 at New Orleans. If Dallas can't beat New Orleans by 4.5 after what we did to them, this should be my lock of the week. I'm only taking it because not using it because it's at New Orleans and it's a Thursday night primetime, and those games can get squirrely. You never know what's going to happen on a Thursday night. But going with Dallas. Our game, Philadelphia, is given 6.5 at New York. And I've got to go with the Eagles on this one. I can't. It's less than a touchdown. And I think that after watching the Jets today and watching them all season, I'm basing this pick on what should happen. The Eagles should score double digits or should lead double digits against them, should beat them by double digits. What do you think on this game?
I'm with you, man. I expect to. We should beat the Jets by about 20, man.
It should be bad. Yeah, after coming off that Giant loss, if they don't get fired up and come out and just blow the doors off,
and you're going into a bye week, why not let it all out on the field? Exactly. You're going to be off for a while. So
exactly, I'm right with you. All right, so we've given our picks on that game. So we'll run through the rest of these real quick. Tampa Bay on the road, given 10.5 at Atlanta. I'm going to take Tampa Bay all day. Given that much points, I don't even care. Arizona's given 7.5 to Chicago. Chicago at home with that defense, I think they'll just keep this close. And Arizona's been playing Jekyll of Hyde as of late, so I'm going to go ahead and take a chance and take the Bears, getting 7.5. After that, we got Cincinnati, who are hot after their throttling of the Steelers. At home, given 3 to the Chargers. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. But I like Cincinnati winning by a little bit more than a field goal. After that, we got the Vikings at Detroit. Detroit's played everybody close except for the Eagles. So I am going to pick them to play the Vikings close, maybe not win, but I'm going to take the 7 points and take Detroit. We got Miami at... Well, you got to go with it sometimes, you know, and you got to go based on what Detroit's been doing. They play everybody close, so 100%. That's what we got to do. Then we got Miami at home giving 4.5 to the Giants. I like the Giants' defense, and Miami has been ripping off a few wins, but against some kind of, they did beat Baltimore, let's face it. So we got to, you know, acknowledge that. But I'm going to take the Giants on the road, just coming off the high after beating the Eagles. And then we've got Indianapolis at Houston. After watching the Jets-Houston game today, it really affected my way I picked the games. I made this my lock of the week. I don't care that Indianapolis has given them 8.5 points on the road. Houston was just god-awful against the Jets and don't deserve to win another game the rest of the year. And this should be ugly, I think. If Indianapolis plays and Taylor plays the way he can, this could be definitely more than... This could be triple digits by the end of the day. I don't know. It could be 100-3 after it was all said and done. And then we got the Las Vegas Raiders giving 2.5 at home to the Washington football team. I like what Washington did against Seattle, but I will say this, and I'm going to stop the picks for just 1 second to talk about a topic that we didn't talk about during the Gardner Minshew thing. So talking about Hurts being a franchise quarterback, one of the things that they're mentioning is that, okay, if Minshew isn't the guy, then maybe we go after Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like either of those options at this point. I like Russell Wilson. I've always thought he was one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. I thought the Seahawks lived and died by him, but he's either really badly hurt or he's fallen off watching that Washington game. He did not look like Russell Wilson. He looked like somebody was out there with a Russell Wilson jersey on, like Uncle Rico got off the bench and came in there. Because it was, did you watch the game? He was all over the place.
I did watch that game.
It was concerning.
I'll let you finish. Yeah, go.
He couldn't sustain a drive. And this is a Russell Wilson that used to work magic. And even when, you know, we got DK Metcalf and Lockett in there. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, when that came up after Hurts' bad game, and of course it's a knee-jerk reaction, because Hurts had a bad game, my first thought was, Lord, please don't let Howie Roseman package our first-round picks or something like it into a deal for Russell Wilson in the offseason. Because what we're going to do is we're going to get an older quarterback that, yes, was great at one point and then is not the same with the Eagles, and now we've lost those draft picks. Same thing with Watson. I don't have a problem going after him if the legal stuff ain't cleared up, because he might never play. So why would you do that when you've got a known quantity in Hurts? Let's write out the season with Hurts before we talk about this anymore. But that's how I feel going in now. How do you feel?
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel the same way. And I just think, you know, I've been saying this all year. I don't like it in general that when you currently have a person on the job and you're talking about somebody else, Hurts just completed his 16th start as a quarterback. One season. It's just like, but you have to deal with, like I said, just about after every loss, I think I've seen a headline about him being a franchise quarterback. When it comes to Russell Wilson, well, I'll just talk about Deshaun Watson real quick. I just think Deshaun Watson is until all that stuff is cleared up, it doesn't even matter how good he is. It just doesn't even matter, because you're playing with clouds over your head, and that's just not good. Not for a city like Philly, but man, he's an incredible quarterback. Russell Wilson, it goes back to just my original theme in general when it comes to quarterbacks. Not a lot of quarterbacks. Basically, man, you can have about Peyton Manning and the rest of them. If you can't run the ball, it's really hard. It's really, really, really hard to throw against when they're rushing three, maybe four, dropping line. You're throwing into a seven-man front, eight-man front. You know, just throughout the entire game, they're just playing, dropping back. Outside linebackers are playing the bubbles. They're playing them deep. They're playing them in all these spots. He did miss a lot of throws. So the accuracy and his strength in his arm is still there. But the accuracy, I did worry. But I think Russell Wilson could be a player. Remember, I talked about earlier, there's nobody you can point to in the locker room. At least we know he is a leader. You know, he's a leader of men. He played on a team with a lot of personalities. You know what I'm saying? A lot of personalities. And they still all, we still, Seattle was still synonymous with him, even though you had Richard Sherman, Chancellor, Legion of Boom. Bobby Wagner still there. You had Smith that went, and you had Marshawn Lynch as well too. Right now he doesn't even have Chris Carson. He has Alex Collins back there, right. Penny. I'm telling you, man, it all starts with the run game in the league, man. It's really hard for quarterbacks to just throw against seven man fronts, man. But no, he didn't look well. And he was pressing, like almost like he's trying to get everything back in one play or one. And it's like, look, man, just take what the defense is giving you.
Right.
You know, you like feel like he was trying to just force. The game normally flows for Russ, but it didn't feel like he was pressing very hard and forcing a lot of throws. When you see a quarterback throw the ball in the ground, he's forcing it because they're gripping it so hard, your release point has changed. And I think Russ is gripping it like a baseball. He's just ripping it because, you know, he got drafted in baseball as well. So he's just a phenomenal athlete.
Right.
He's just gripping and ripping instead of just letting the ball flow out of his hands, man. And that's kind of like weird thing about Hurts, too. Hurts has a strong arm, but it's like the touch isn't there. It's all fastball, no changeup, you know, right. No curve. It's just boom, you know, cannons for arms, you know. So, but you have to get that touch. And I think that's the problem with our deep ball accuracy with Hurts. It's like either he severely underthrows it or he overthrows it. And it's just like it's not a lot of, or it's like a jump ball between two players. It's not a lot of separation. I also still believe I don't see our receivers. Either they're wide open or they're like covered, like tight. There's no in between. When you see, the point I'm making is when you see teams play against us, man, you'll see guys 2-3 yards off the receiver before they catch the ball and they get that yak. Yards after the catch. Remember, I mentioned earlier, who from the Eagles wide receiver core, even Smith, that you feel like is a home runner can just break one? Nah, man.
Yeah.
Who was taking a 5 to 6 yard to the house? You remember that Mac Jones play?
Darius Slay.
Exactly. Slay has had more big plays than any of our receivers.
It's true.
He's, you know, so it's like we have no home run ball. Yeah. We have no player that can just boom, take the top off. Rager is fast, but his route running isn't there.
Horrible.
And Smith route running is there, but he's not that fast. He doesn't, you know. So I just feel like we don't have that player that can really take the top off, that D Jackson. You know, we don't really have that. I think Watkins can be that.
Yeah,
but I think we might as well just make Watkins our second receiver and just press. So yeah, man, I know about the Russ and Deshaun, man.
And that's the thing is I agree with you. I would take a flyer on Russell Wilson for next season if we don't give up the house to do it. If we don't give up the farm and say, hey, here's 3 first-round picks, give us Russ. No, dude, if you want to package a deal where you maybe give a second rounder and a fourth rounder, that's what Russell Wilson's worth to me right now because he doesn't want to be there anyway. So maybe you always got to work a deal if they're going to do that. Don't give up those 3 rounders because they're valuable right now. We need another wide receiver. We may need another guard because we can't have Brooks again. So we need that guard on the right side to team with Lane. We know that we've got Dickerson as our center, but who we got on that left guard spot? We got Mailata. So there's a lot that we need. Right. And then on the opposite side of the ball, we need linebackers. So don't give up draft capital when we've got too much to get one guy who is at the end of his career that may play mediocre and get us to the playoffs and lose. I just don't want to see that. Deshaun Watson, on the other hand, if he had no legal troubles right now, I would take him in a heartbeat.
No brainer.
And I like Hurts, but when you weigh them out, I would take Deshaun Watson because he has those things you talked about. He has those intangibles. He has a leadership. He has a mobility, and he has a touch. Mm-hmm. And we saw that all those years to Hopkins in Houston. Okay. Hopkins didn't catch those by himself. Those balls, a lot of those were thrown in the right spot. Mm-hmm. Hopkins is a great receiver, but Watson, man, he did a lot of good things. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I just, while we were going through the picks, that came up in my mind looking at the Washington football team and thinking about that Seattle game. It brought it up, so I wanted to discuss it. So moving on through the rest of these picks, we got the Rams. They are giving 13 points at home to Jacksonville. I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to take 13 is a lot of points. And Jacksonville sometimes rises up. It seems like every time I pick them, they don't. Seems like the weeks that I pick against them, they always tend to upset somebody. So I just can't get my sink in with the Jaguars. I don't know what's going on. Then we got Baltimore giving 4.5 to at Pittsburgh. After watching Pittsburgh get throttled by Cincinnati and tie to Detroit, 4.5, that could be another lock of the week because there's no way that that's that low, but it's just because it's a division game and it's a heated rivalry, so we'll see what happens in that game. But I got to go with Baltimore getting given 4 on the road. San Francisco's on the road as well, giving 3.5 to Seattle again. After seeing Seattle, I don't know if I can take them anymore this year unless they're playing a really bad team. And San Francisco is not a really bad team. Mediocre, but not really bad. So I'm going to take San Francisco, giving that 3.5 on the road. Then we got Kansas City at home, giving 9.5 to Denver. I respected Denver's defense enough to go ahead and take them in this game. I do think Kansas City wins, but I think Denver will keep it close. Again, division rivalries tend to be a little bit more heated, so we'll see what happens there. Then we got Buffalo at home, giving 2 to New England. This is a tough one because Buffalo, to me, if you would have asked me this pick about 5 weeks ago, I'd have said Buffalo, no problem. 2 points? I'll double down on that. But Buffalo, I don't know what's happened to them. I don't know what's happened to them defensively. I don't know what's happened to them offensively. But nothing seems to be working for them. And right now, New England is hot. And so going in on a game where the New England can win on the road, solidify their spot in the division, that's tough. I'm going to take that most of the time. So I'm going to take the Patriots getting 2.5 on the road at Buffalo. As for the college games, we've got 3 on the board this week. We've got the Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma State. They're playing Baylor. They're giving 5.5. These are all at neutral sites, so there's no real home team. I'm going to take Oklahoma State giving the 5.5 to Baylor. Then we got Georgia giving 6.5 to Alabama. While I do think Alabama robbed Auburn with some really bad calls, there was some grounding calls that didn't get made in the Iron Bowl that Auburn should have gotten. And then in the defense, it got pushed off the ball and that tying touchdown. Maybe I'm a little bitter because I like Auburn, but I also think the media loves Alabama. I think that the coaches, the refs, love Alabama, and they just things just happen to go their way. So while they may not beat Georgia outright, I'm going to take the 6.5 points because I think they'll keep it close. And then my Michigan Wolverines, this is a tough one for me because they're playing Iowa. I love Michigan. So happy they beat Ohio State last week. Huge win. First time in 10 years that they've won in this rivalry. They're going for their first Big Ten championship game against Iowa. They're favored by 10.5. I am taking Iowa and the 10.5 points. I think Michigan will win, but this is part me trying to jinx the pick because if Iowa wins, then I get the pick right. I'll still be devastated if Michigan loses this game outright. But I think the game should be competitive. I think Iowa, they've only got 2 losses on the season. Michigan just has the 1 loss to Michigan State, which was a game they shouldn't have lost. Both teams are really good. I think Michigan will run the ball a lot here, which could keep the scoring low. So we'll see how it goes. And that's the picks that I have for Week 13. It's hard to believe it is already Week 13. Can you? It's just all of a sudden, we started doing this podcast just a couple months ago, and all of a sudden we're sitting here staring week 13. And when the Eagles come out of a bye, we got 4 games left. What the hell? Where'd the time go?
Yeah, man. For sure, man. I was thinking the same thing, man. I think fantasy football helps speed it up too, because you're looking for that next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The season has gone by very quickly. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy every game we have, man.
I enjoy December football because even if the Eagles aren't winning or losing, it's something about the atmosphere, the cold weather, the environment, the games get darker earlier. It has this aura around it that really makes it a lot of fun to watch. And even if you're the teams that you're not a fan of, when we start looking at all these other potential playoff teams and you know where they could go, in, except for the Cowboys, I don't watch them. But all these other teams, it becomes great drama, great TV. So, yeah, I think we've got a lot to look forward to over the next few weeks at this NFL season as it wraps up. And this is the exciting part. We're getting toward the last quarter of this season. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And I hope that you all have fun, too. And you keep listening to the Where Eagles Dare podcast because we appreciate it. Whether you follow us on YouTube or Facebook Live or Twitch, we are very grateful. Don't forget to subscribe so you get notified every time we go on live. Also on all the podcast providers. If you don't like us on Stitcher, you can get us on Apple Podcasts. If you don't like Apple Podcasts, you can go to Amazon Music or Audible or Spotify or Podcaster or Castro. Many others. Podbean. We're out there. So don't forget to subscribe or follow us on those so that you get notified every time a new episode drops. We will be back here next week. Monday, we should be live. to discuss whether we won or lost to this Jets team. I hope it's a win. I hope we're playing the Fly Eagles Fly music and that we're celebrating. We got a big smile on our face because I don't know if I can handle 2 weeks till another game if we lose to the Jets. That's going to be really rough. So as always, I am Lee, and with me every week is my boy Tubby. And here are his final words of the week.
I think we're going to get a win. I think we're going to win by 20. Just real quick, my little final thought. I think we're going to win by 20. Yeah, man. And if we, it will be a long 2 weeks, like you said. Oh, man, I just hope we leave it all out there on the field. We just really do, man. Really do. And losing to the Jets is going to make it just, it's way worse. Way worse. So, yeah, man. Let's do it, man. Thanks for checking us out. I can close it out for us if you want, man, with a give fly, the, Eagles,
give,
fly.
Give me those words. Give me those words.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Go Birds. Week. Yes. Sure. Have a great weekend.